This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. I'm so glad you're here with us today. I appreciate you. I just really can't begin to tell you how special it is to get to spend this time every week with you. I hope that it means something in your life. I really do want to see you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Kathy and I love pouring into you all that we've learned in the last 20-ish years that both of us have been marketing for people online, and just really, really help you find some tricks, find some tips, some secrets that are going to allow you to learn, to grow, but possibly even get to that next level a little quicker than some of us did. I really want you to know that you are important to the world, and Kathy and I are here to help you. We, of course, want to help you be a bestseller. You're always welcome to come join us at bestsellersguild.com. But more than anything, we want you to know that we know there are things that all of us go through in life. There's that stuff, you know. There are the fires in life. There are the circumstances that come against us and keep us from really being able to live the life that we planned. We have these plans set out, and then life happens. God steps in and says, that's not exactly the direction that you should go in life. Often when we first are confronted by that, it's difficult. It's tough. We often get angry. We have a lot of emotional feelings and things around that whole circumstance that we want to just grab a hold of and control and get angry and respond inappropriately to. And yet what we almost always learn is, in spite of things that come into our lives, that there is a better at the end of it. Now, there are some of those kind of things that we can't control. Outside circumstances, outside people, stuff that comes into our life, sickness, disease, death of family members, we can't control those kind of things. But what we can control is how we move, how we live through the fires that come in our life, so that we really truly can be the best version of ourselves, because the world does need you. And in order for you to be the impactful, effective, worthwhile, useful person that you are — I'm not even saying that you could be, that you are — in order for you to be able to do that, you have to really embrace the situations that have happened in your life. They're gone now, but there are lessons that we can learn from them. The things that we're going through right now, you have that inner strength to be able to do things that are going to amaze you as you're going through it. And there are people around you that love you and want to be there for you because they care. I encourage you, reach out to that. Kathy and I, of course, are here to help you not just share your story, but find the strength, find the encouragement, find the things that you need at whatever stage you're at in life so that you really, truly can thrive. It's really fun for us, and I really love talking to people and hearing them share the commonalities in their stories between the situations that all of us go through in life. So take a minute and just take a deep breath. Allow yourself to relax, to let go some of the things that they didn't go the way you wanted them to. It happens. I wish it didn't, but it does. After you've taken that deep breath, and maybe right this second isn't it, maybe you need to give yourself a couple of days to just breathe and just go through it. But after that, I really encourage you, take the time to start looking at what was the thing, the things that you've learned, that you've taken away from those that have put you in an even better place than you possibly could have imagined as you were going through those fires. I think that you'll find that as you do that, that your life, your business will really truly begin to thrive in all that you do. Imagine the moment when you get that diagnosis. Now, all of us get different types of diagnoses, but some of them are words like cancer that really scare us, that put us in a place that we never expected to be, and I don't know any way you can prepare to be there. But the question that you have to ask yourself in that moment and going through the process is, how are you going to approach it? And I love this next bestseller because Nicole Alley has a great way of really looking at an extreme situation in herself and really emphasizing that she is a warrior and that she was built to last. So join me in welcoming Nicole Alley. How are you today, Nicole?
I'm great. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
So it's a, you know, really shock that you got, you know, at the beginning of your story. Tell us just a little bit about what happened.
You know, it's a very interesting story, actually. I self-diagnosed myself. I saw a small inversion on one of my breasts, and I knew that wasn't right. And so I immediately scheduled a doctor's appointment and asked my doctor to refer me for a mammogram. From there, it just sort of, you know, took on a ride of its own. I went to the doctor, then we went for scheduling and tests, and before you knew it, I'm sitting in one of the main hospitals in New York City that treat breast cancer, and I was officially diagnosed, and without hesitation, I just said, well, what do we have to do? How do we fix this? I started my journey from there.
So do you feel like in that moment is when you knew that you were built to last, or is it something you prepared for before that happened?
You know, it wasn't until I started to actually go through the process, and I had a few hiccups, which I definitely explained throughout my book, Warrior Built to Last, but there were a few hiccups in my journey, and it wasn't until I started to experience those hiccups that I started to tell myself that I am the warrior and I am built to last, because I'm not about to allow this to take over my life. I don't want to be known as Nicole Alley with the breast cancer. I want to be Nicole Alley as the fighter.
Would you say that term applied to you before you found out you had cancer? Is it something that you really discovered was inside of you as you went through the fight?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that, Steve. I'm pretty sure if you asked family members and friends, I had it in me before, but I didn't see it and I didn't realize it. It was just a part of me and it was, you know, who I am. And it was just a part of my everyday life. It was almost like my DNA, if you will. And it wasn't until after diagnosis and some of the things that I went through during my diagnosis that I realized that this is who I am. And because this is who I am, I need to fight. And so I really wanted to encourage other people, even in my book, to help people see that in themselves, right? Because at the end of the day, this is not an end-all be-all. The only thing that, you know, is the end-all be-all is if you actually procrastinate. And if you procrastinate, yes, you can definitely look down a dark barrel, but if you don't procrastinate and you take it head on and you take every challenge as an obstacle and not as a defeat, you can make it through this process.
That is such a great statement. Take every obstacle as a challenge and not a defeat. I love that. You know, and I think there's another part that you said in there that's interesting to me, because it seems like the last thing any of us want in our own lives, especially, but also in the people's lives that we love, is for anything bad to happen to them. You know, as parents, we would try to keep our children safe from everything, right?
right.
And yet, it is some of those really extreme circumstances that kind of do, you know, like ignite things that have always been inside of you but didn't really show up until you got a little bit of pressure put on you.
Right. So, I think, you know, I think everything happens in time.
Yeah. So, what was the biggest, I mean, I know there's a ton of lessons. There's a bunch of them in the book, but to be totally unfair, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned out of the whole process?
The biggest lesson that I'm learning is to live in the moment, right? So not only to not procrastinate and not only to take action, but to actually live in the moment and enjoy and savor every moment of that moment. And I feel like that's my biggest lesson, because I was so focused on my career ladder. And I was so focused on, you know, other external goals and things I wanted to accomplish and get to the top and get to the top and climb, 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 that when I would accomplish certain things, I did not appreciate it. And so now, when you are faced with a situation, a terminal illness or critical illness, and there are certain things that are, for lack of better words, you know, maybe taken away from you, right? You say, wait a minute, hold up. If this were to end all tomorrow, or for some reason I wasn't able to get up anymore tomorrow, what would I be upset about? And I never wanted to be able, I never, ever want to say shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? I don't want that to be in my dialogue as I get older. So for me, it was live in the moment, appreciate everything that I've been given, appreciate everything that I'm going through, including challenges, right? Because that's what builds my character. And I think I'm a better person today than I was a year and a half ago. And I think I'm a stronger person than I ever was before. But I have, I'm showing my strengths in different ways. And so again, right now, I just want to use my time, my talent, and my energy to help people get to that place as well.
So, because we don't want to wish cancer on anybody, let's give them some of the wisdom that you've learned through this. What would be that thing that you would encourage somebody to ignite inside of themselves now, as opposed to waiting for something to spark it in them?
So you're absolutely right, Steve. I don't want to encourage anyone, or I don't want to wish anyone bad health. So I want them to take my journey and my lesson to fuel their fire. I want them to go out and look at that to-do list, or look at those little notes they've been scratching on their post-it. Take one off the wall and do it. I want them to check something off their bucket list. I want them to make a doctor's appointment they've been putting off. I want them to take care of themselves and their health. And I want them to have the energy to do it and to enjoy their family and their time here. It's so important. And I think too many times we're so, you know, focused on one particular thing, we don't look at the bigger picture. And so ultimately, you know, we've always been taught work hard and retire and live your life. Well, the difference now is that you should live your life through your entire journey, and not wait until you're 50, 67 years old when certain other things have happened in your life and worn you down to start to live your life. You need to live today for today.
Good words from Nicole Alley, the writer of Warrior Built to Last, an amazing story of her journey, all that she's learned as she's come through it. And hopefully you can just read the book and take it as a shortcut to ignite those things inside of yourself. It's always easier when we can just kind of step on the lessons that other people have learned rather than, you know, having to have to learn them the hard way ourselves in the school of hard knocks. Nicole, what would be the one thing you'd like to leave people with, you know, in our interview here today?
I think I'd like to leave people with not only do you want to live your best life and encourage others to do so along, when you get to a certain point in your life and when you are happy and you have the energy, turn around and help somebody else get to that point as well. That's the only way we're all going to get to a point where we are all happy and enjoying our lives. I don't believe in leaving people behind. I definitely believe in helping others that want to help themselves. And so when you get to that point and you get that energy, turn around, reach down, and bring somebody up.
Good words of encouragement. You can get the book, Warrior Built to Last, on Amazon.com. It's by Nicole Alley. Nicole is spelled N-A-C-O-L-E and then A-L-I. Nicole, is there a website that people can contact you at or a Facebook page?
Sure. So all of my social media and my webpage is www.NicoleAlley.com, and that's NacoleAlley.com. And on Instagram, it's at The Real Nicole Alley.
I hope you'll check out the book today.
Take your time to reach out to somebody today. Find somebody that you can help with something that they're going through. There is really, truly nothing better that we can do to improve the quality of our own lives than when we step out of the situation that we're in and we allow ourselves to really reach out and help somebody else. I think those are great words. I do encourage you to pick up Warrior Built to Last by Nicole Alley. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
One of the things in my own life I know positively that always helps me get through those times in our life is music. I am so excited today to introduce to you a person I've known for, and this is going to date myself, but for more than 30 years now. I met Mark way back when both of us were together on Tour F 1985 Continental Singers. Mark was our lead guitar player then and is still not only playing, but doing awesome things with music. And we're going to talk a little bit about his life here, too. Join me in welcoming Mark Pogue. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
So I've told on social media several times my side of the story of
reading the liner notes on your album in 1991. When we met, you were in that 7-year period. You and your wife were divorced, and you really came through some stuff in there. Can you tell us a little bit about transition from the marriage wasn't working back to the wonderful thing that it is now?
You know, I'd always had the sense in my life that, in a sense, I was able to always connect my emotions and write about them. So that part has always been a kind of a natural thing that was ongoing in my life. But of course, I was coming out of high school. I was playing, you know, bars and clubs. You know, of course, I met my wife. I met her actually on a beach in Corpus Christi, and we ended up getting married. But the marriage only lasted a year because I was solely focused on trying to make my career path work, trying to make something happen with music. And it had a couple of songs that became successful locally in the Texas area, particularly. I was in some Rock to Riches finals and Battle of the Bands in Houston and San Antonio, and a finalist in the American Song Festival. So things were beginning to happen, but my marriage was falling apart. At that point, I really turned to God because I realized me leading my own life was causing things to fall apart. So I was looking for something. So that's, you know, when I turned to Jesus, he turned my life around at that point, and I started pursuing different things. One of the things I started pursuing, I spoke out loud and just said, you know, hey, God, if there's any way that I could turn this around, I would do it. And I just wanted to do right by him from that point on. You know, at first I was divorcing her, and then after, you know, I came to the conclusion God wanted something different, I dropped that, you know, basically dropped the case, but she turned around and then filed it on me. It didn't really look good. 85, that's when the Continental Tour was. Right after I got back from that tour, the divorce was finalized.
Myself of all contentions to take hold of the love that's real, putting aside my false pretensions for a peace that no one can steal.
You are from Mark's new album, Through the Fire, his song, Baptize Me. So, Mark, what happened next? What did you have to go through next?
You need to get right even with the little things in your life. Part of that was, well, you need to go back and ask for forgiveness. You were totally selfish and you weren't looking after her interests. I did. I went back. But when I went back and asked for her forgiveness, it seemed to take away the animosity. I did it because I meant it. And I think she knew that. That was the beginning point of trust being rebuilt in our relationship. It was my Christmas to have my daughter. And he said, rather than taking your daughter, I want you to spend Christmas with your ex-wife. And I was going, ooh, that's awkward. So sometimes you know that God's speaking to you when he's telling you stuff you don't want to hear or do things that you don't want to do. Asked her, hey, you know, I'm supposed to have my daughter this Christmas, but what if we both had, or what if I just, you know, came down to Corpus and spent Christmas with you guys? And she goes, you know, my sister and her husband and my mother and everybody's going to be there. And I said, yeah, that's fine. And so she goes, oh, okay, no problem. So I did that, and I don't know what that did. I mean, I've kind of, she thought it was strange. Everybody probably thought it was strange that, you know, the ex-husband would offer to spend Christmas with, usually I'd be the topic of discussion, negativity, not putting myself right in their face. But we did have something in common, and that was our daughter. And whatever the Spirit of God touched me with, it just filled me with joy. It was God's bigger than the both of us.
I know at that point it must have at times seemed really hopeless. Your ex was even dating other people. In fact, you wrote a song during that time specifically to her to talk about what you thought it must be like to go through heartache after heartache, not finding that one and still looking for love.
Still haven't come.
at a certain point, she had gotten in a had an abusive boyfriend. You know, I guess all the things that up to that point had caused her to reach out to me for some reason. She, you know, called me and told me what was going on. And at the time, I was playing with Morgan Cryer. So, you know, I said, well, I mean, why don't you come up to, you know, this concert we're playing in Oklahoma City. You know, at least you could kind of get away from that process and clear your head. And I asked Morgan. He said, yeah, I'll get a hotel room just for her. You know, she can stay in. And at that time, of course, Brian Lennox was playing with us at that time too. So, but anyway, we were driving, you know, from Texas up to Oklahoma. So, so she met us in Houston. We drove all the way to Oklahoma, went to the concert, and apparently Morgan said some things that really connected and touched with her. I was able to lead her to the Lord on the way back from that concert and got her a Bible. And, you know, it wasn't instant reconciliation or anything, but there was something that, you know, God was working a process out. We had been divorced, so it still took some more time. Eventually, she had a dream that was kind of like a destiny type of dream where she was walking down a hallway and there were all these different doors. And she was actually walking with whoever was her current boyfriend at the time. And her current boyfriend went through one of these doors and said, come on. And she looked through the door and said, no, this isn't where I'm supposed to go. And then she kept walking down the hallway, and she said she knew in her heart as she was waking up that she needed to give me let me know that, you know, God had revealed to her that our purpose was together with God. So I just had it on my heart, and actually I had written that song on my new album called New Dates and Heartaches, because I was witnessing her go from relationship to relationship, and I was lamenting that she didn't know when each time she started a relationship that it was going to end up in heartache, you know, because, you know, God had a plan that was bigger than both of us. So at the same time, you know, I was just giving vent to my feelings about that whole situation. So when I got down there, all of a sudden she was agreeing with me. I was saying, you know, I think you really ought to lay off these relationships. You know, they're not really doing you any good and helping you out. Why don't you just, you know, focus on God for a while? And she was going, yeah, I agree. And all this stuff. I'm going, what? What do you mean you agree? I've never heard you say that before. And she said she had a dream and she was willing to talk about reconciling. So we became engaged basically 7 years from the time of our divorce to the month, from the time our divorce was finalized to we got remarried on August 22nd. In 1991. So it was quite a process, and God moving in the midst of all that. But I mean, of course, the creative process was part of that, and God used me. I traveled all over the world with different Christian recording artists, and I didn't have a lot of people that believed that was going to happen. It was pretty uncommon. But if you have a sense in your heart that you're supposed to go in a certain direction, that you have a destiny in that direction, you know, whether it's music, whether it's books, writing, at some point you have to put feet to that faith and begin. And as you begin and walk through that process, then God begin to move and open doors. My encouragement is, whatever God has laid on your heart, whoever you know that you've been created to be at the core of your heart, that those things are possible even when it looks like they're impossible.
What do you know? What do you believe in? What is that thing that's in the core of your heart that has to come out? You see, you've heard me say it many, many times over, but the world needs you because there's a message that only you can deliver. There are those things inside of you that are waiting, screaming to come out. It can be in your relationships. It can be in a lot of different things in life, but only you can believe them, and only you can live that life that you were meant to believe. So I really encourage you, hold on to those things that you know to be true in your life and don't let go of them. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more from Mark here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Imagine imagine the feeling of being seen as the go-to expert in your field and having that at no extra cost for marketing, plus having more time for your family, friends, vacations, and hobbies. You don't have to imagine anymore. Hi, I'm Kristen Baker, sales, money, and success coach, and I want to share my proven formula that I use to close over $100 million in sales. Go to KristenBakerCoach.com, that's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, BakerCoach.com, and access my free checklist called Turn 100 Leads into $20,000. Find out in less than 5 minutes if you've been sitting on a goldmine of ideal clients. Stop wasting time and money on sales and marketing methods that don't work. Start by going to KristenBakerCoach.com, download my checklist, and let's get started today.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Mark Pogue, and we're talking today about being, about living out that thing from the core of your being that you know you're supposed to do, that you know is true. Each of us has a truth that we need to live in, and we have to be the ones who stand up for the things through the fires in life and really truly believe that that is what's going to come to pass. I know you've done a considerable amount of touring. You talked a little bit about a few of the different groups that you've toured with, but who else is on the list? So there's Continentals, and then, of course, all the local things that you mentioned. You toured with Rick Kua, and then with Morgan. Who else did you tour with?
I did some touring with Margaret Becker, and actually did some recording with her as well. Did some recording with Kim Boyce, and played at Atlanta Fest with her. I spent almost 5 years with DeGarmo and Key from about 1991 through pretty much till they decided to quit. So I was with them. That was a tremendous blessing. Dana Key died a few years ago, but at his funeral, I mean, it surprised me. But of course, they were around for many years before I joined them. But during the course of their ministry and their band, they probably put out 15 or plus albums, and they led over 100,000 people to the Lord during that time. So, I mean, Dana was quite an evangelist. He ended up pastoring a church in Memphis before he died, and he actually died really young, but had a blood clot that caused a premature death. But I was with them. I've played with Paul Kupek when he was doing his solo music with Des Dickerson's label. Let's see, I played with Neil Morris, who's a prog rock artist. So I played with him for a couple of years. You know, top of the line players, drummers like Mike Portnoy, who was nominated Best Drummer in Modern Drummer magazine 15 years straight. Played with a lot of worship people as well. Toured early on with Israel Houghton, who wrote a lot of songs, including, you know, I'm a Friend of God. Got to worship and play a little bit under David Baroni and some people that I consider just giants in writing and giants in being able to take the creative process and say what they've been created to say. So it's been fortunate for sure.
So you think your life is a mess. You don't know which way.
As you can tell, this album is powerful. It rocks all the way from the beginning to the end and is filled with impactful words that really will reach down and touch you. And great music for any of you that are lovers of good old-fashioned rock and roll. You will love this album. I really do encourage you to pick up Through the Fire by Mark Pogue. How many songs would you say you personally have written over the years?
I would say it's in the hundreds. I started when I was 11 years old, almost before I even knew chords. I was organizing notes and trying to put words and emotions to songs. So basically from the time I was 11, I was giving voice to my emotions through music. And a lot of that stuff, I mean, I still have stuff written on pieces of scratch paper. I guess I'm old school in that way, in that, you know, when I start the creative process, I may have some words or some lines that are in my mind, and I'll write them down and sit down and think about the emotion of what I'm trying to say, and try to let that emotion guide the chord progressions that I'm working with. And then I just, you know, kind of add. I mean, there's been some times I've heard a whole song in my dreams and woke up and wrote it. And one time, like the song Love Like You Mean It, I heard it in a dream and then thought I would just remember it and forgot it, and then asked God to bring it back to my remembrance. And then, you know, a couple of nights later, it came back to my remembrance, and then I finally wrote it down because I knew it was possible that I'd forget it if I didn't.
From the start, it's a mess. Got more bills I just can't rest. Gotta catch up, gotta get ahead. Whoa, got no time, it's a sin. Gotta look back at where I've been. Did it help me? Did it get me there? Oh, well, oh my, my. How you gonna answer when you die? It's a long way, short time to get there.
That whole song I heard, you know, heard in my sleep. And there's been other songs. I had a dream that I saw Dana Key singing a song in heaven just a couple of months ago. And I went ahead and wrote it down. Of course, it's not recorded yet. But so, I mean, I get songs in different ways. Sometimes, you know, I'll hear melodies. Sometimes there's been times where like 4 or 5 days where I had just, you know, several melodies that were coming, and just maybe an idea of the topic, but not, you know, not the whole verse or chorus. So, you know, I would pull out my phone and do the voice memos, and I'm pretty big on doing that. I've been doing that during my worship time. Particularly over the last couple of weeks, I've come up with about seven or eight songs.
You toured all over the world, a whole bunch of different artists. And then you hit this point where God just said, no, I want you to stay home with the family. And then 25 years later, you felt released to be able to do the second album. Did you just have like 11 or 12 songs that were just jumping off the page, you know, saying, record me? Or how did you decide which of all those songs to put on the album?
It was really my wife, because, like I said, right, what I considered the pinnacle of my music career, you know, I just had, you know, 4 or 5 top 10 hits on CCM radio, and was with DeGarmo and Key at the time, and felt the Lord saying, I want you to come off the road and begin to, you know, spend time with your family, because restoration, that process has just begun. It wasn't good that I was gone a lot and my wife was home alone a lot. So I felt like God was saying I needed to make a transition. So I did. I didn't realize it was going to be as long as it was, and that's part of the what I call through the fire process, because it was almost like I traded. There was something missing when I was on the road, but there was something being fulfilled at that time too. I mean, God was fulfilling my dreams of being able to have a voice and being able to put out music that, you know, that the world could listen to. But I felt the missing element of the promise of my marriage being restored. So then once my marriage was restored, it was like God was saying, okay, now I want you to put this other stuff down, pursue the restoration of your family and your marriage. In the beginning, particularly, it was easy. I had some delivery truck driving types of things where I could, you know, I had long drives and I could put on worship music and get in the spirit that way. But, you know, it just seemed like there was a lot of things that were thrown in my path that were life challenges. And further I got away from the music industry in terms of years, it just seemed like nothing's ever going to happen. Lost that part of my life, and, you know, I'm feeling the void of it. So, you know, at times I was dealing with depression and discouragement, you know, just because I couldn't see anything happening. Didn't look like I was ever going to be able to make my way back or see my creative process come to any kind of fruition again.
I never said your life would be carefree, easy. Picking up your cross to follow me daily. When the times are tough and skies turn gray, won't you close your heart and turn?
Through the Fire by Mark Pogue. For all of us, during those times when we are going through the fire, you are enough. You do have enough, and you're not alone. I want you to, I really encourage you to pick up this album, to use it, to listen to inspire you, to encourage you in those times when you are going through the fire. There is just so many great songs on this album. Go to Amazon, go to markpogue.com, pick up Through the Fire right now. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back with more from Mark on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Mark Pogue. We're talking about his album, Through the Fire. We're also talking about the fires that we all come through our life and how we can truly be successful, dynamic, impactful in the world that we live in. You do have a purpose and a talent, and it is there waiting for you. Sometimes it seems so impossible, and yet it really truly is. Mark was telling us the story of all the songs he's written over the years, and yet the 25-year silence that he had in his music career, putting out since his last album.
Sometime last year, I mean, I've continued to write just because that's part of who I am. But my wife came to me and said, you know, I think you ought to put out another album and let me choose the songs, is what she said. And so I said, well, what songs would you choose? And she started naming some songs that, you know, some of them I had recorded demos of and different things, songs that weren't on the first album. And one that was, The Money Can't Buy, was actually on the first album. But she always liked the attitude and the sound of you know, the first demo that, that I created for it, which was in the bus of the band Russia, which was another band I toured with. But Nikolai Pankratz, for some reason, we had a really good chemistry writing together. That song came out of it. It's probably one of the best songs I've written.
I have been waiting this entire interview to play to you an excerpt of Money Can't Buy, my favorite song from the album Restoration, my favorite song on Through the Fire. Mark, I love this song, and I know your wife loves it too. In fact, actually, when I mentioned that, she immediately popped up and said, I love it, and I actually love this version of it even more than the one that was on Restoration. And I do have to agree with her. The blues piano and stuff that's in there just really adds to the song. Great, great song. A song that I used actually back when Restoration came out as the offering song for the youth groups that I was working with. So your wife said, I want you to put out an album and I get to pick all of the songs.
So she wanted to choose the music for the new album. And I said, okay, you know, that's fine with me, because without somebody behind me, I wasn't going to accomplish anything on my own. So unless she was with me in it, you know, I wasn't going to do it. I took my time, make sure the production and everything was as good as I could possibly get it, and then, you know, just released it. It's done well so far. I'm happy with it. I felt like I was obedient. I felt like even our marriage grew closer together through that whole process, because alone in my art anymore, I had somebody that was with me and helping support me in that process as well.
That is really cool. There's a lot of us that the music that's inside of us is something that kind of tends to eke its way out during our 9-to-5. You know what I mean? It like can't be silent, but it isn't necessarily that way we're earning our living anymore. But it's cool to hear, you know, how it came back around for you too. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not sure what's next. It's probably be a worship album, because a lot of what I'm writing now is centered around that. And, you know, like I said, this morning when one of my daughter's friends dropped off her son just to babysit today, walked in there with the acoustic guitar. I said, let's see how he responds to music, you know, and just started playing. I started playing all the songs that I've been writing over the last couple of weeks, as well as a hymn and another old Dave Baroni song. Just played it and eventually put him to sleep and said, okay, my job is done.
Mark, over the years, you've been an artist, a musician, but a big piece of that always is the writing. So what would you say to somebody who is sitting down to write? What is the thing that can help them really express that piece of themselves that's deep down inside that they just know needs to come out and be shared with the world?
We don't always all have the whole package, so definitely don't be afraid to reach out to people, and always try to find the best people that you can find that are going to be like-minded for whatever project it is that you're working for. And I find that the people that are the greatest at what they do, they tend to be the most humble. You would think it might be the other way around, but it's not true. I mean, people like Neil Morse and Dana Key and some of these people that have really done great things are some of the most humble people you ever met, and they would meet with you without hesitation. So, you know, as you're moving forward in your project, you have to trust who you are, trust who God's created you to be, and believe that you can do that, because, you know, we're all here for a purpose, and no man's an island. We need each other, and, you know, like the Bible says, we're to speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, if your gifting is writing books, you know, we need to hear what you have to say. So just be encouraged in that.
And of course, we can get the album from markpogue.com. That's markpogue.com. Other places that people should connect with you?
It's also available on CD Baby. If you want to do a search there, you can find it on Amazon.com, iTunes, which I guess is Apple Music now. There's a lot of different places because it's distributed through CD Baby. It appears in a lot of different venues. But it shouldn't be hard to find if you want to Google it or go to markpogue.com. Mm.
And of course, you can reach out to Mark on Facebook. And a lot of the times you'll even actually get to talk to his wife as you go through the process of checking out his album.
Absolutely. She's with me 100%. She's at home during the day and does a lot of the fielding of questions and people who are, you know, wanting certain things. We've had people in Canada that wanted to take part in the crowdfunding thing, and originally it was just for the people in the United States, so we made some exceptions to get some product to them. There's also t-shirts available. There's all kinds of things. So whatever's in your mind, if you feel free to get a hold of us, we'd be glad to talk with you.
Thanks so much for spending the time with us today, Mark.
All right, Steve. It was great to catch up with you, and look forward to hearing more from your listeners and from your program.
There's a place where I can get away. No distractions anytime.
I really do hope you feel all right. I hope you enjoyed some of the music by Mark Pogue. His new album, Through the Fire, you can get at markpogue.com or on Amazon or from CD Baby. Lots of places to be able to pick up the book. I really hope that you are inspired through the fires that you have in your life, whether you have a diagnosis that comes down that just shocks and rocks your world, or whether you have a career path that you've been on and things change, you feel led to change them, or you have to change them, whatever that might be, I really do hope that you will know that you're not alone and that there are places that you can go for health, help, strength, and support. We really do want to be here for you. With that in mind, I do want to always take this opportunity to let you know, Kathy and I have created a great place for you to share your voice. You do have a message that needs to be shared with the world. And the first step in doing that is to join us. It's free over at bestsellersguild.com. That'll take you directly to our Facebook page. It's a free group. You can just join in, find out information. We talk through some basic stuff just even in the free group. And that's a great way to begin to really understand how Kathy and I have helped well over 130 authors in less than the last year become best-selling authors. It's really exciting for us, and we're getting ready to actually celebrate the one-year anniversary of Bestsellers Guild. We'd love to have you be part of our group, so if you're not yet, please do go to bestsellersguild.com. Kathy and I are here to help you thrive. WeHelpYouThrive.com is our domain name, on purpose, because we want you to thrive in your life and in your business. We want to help you be able to share your unique message with the world. There is nobody else on this planet that can be you, and you're here for a reason. There are no accidents.
So please join us over at bestsellersguild.com and please begin to think about how can you share your voice with the world. We want to celebrate you as our next best-selling author. There is always in life people that are 5 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps ahead of us. But there are also people in life that are 5, 10, 15, 20 steps behind us that are searching, looking for the answers for the things that all of us do with grace and ease in our own life. That thing that you do every day with ease, you don't even probably think about it, is something that is difficult for other people. So many examples just spring to mind. I think of dishes, and I remember one time a person told Kathy, actually, everybody hates dishes. The thing to do is, can you make it a fun experience for you? And then she gave her some tips on how to take a chore that wasn't one of anybody's favorites. And now with that said, I'm sure there's somebody listening now that's like, no, I actually love my dishes. It's like my time off, and I put on, headphones and I do it. And that's who we need in the world, is that person who just loves doing dishes, to share with us where does that joy come from, and how can we, maybe it's not our gifting, but how can we learn from you? What are the things that you do that make it an easy, a graceful, a really life upbuilding event, rather than something that is just to be ignored, hated, avoided in our life? It could be, like I said, it could be dishes. It could be being an accountant. I know some people that love accounting, and I know other people that loathe accounting. It doesn't matter which side of that spectrum you sit on. There are people who are looking for that information. And that information is the stuff that's in you that you just are. I told one of our authors the other day, and this is so true, you don't need to go through a course to figure out what you need to prepare to be a bestseller. You've been preparing to be a bestseller all of your life, because you've been you your whole life. And all we want to do is just help you share your story. Because remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world does need you. Kathy and I so love helping our bestsellers, and we want you to be our next bestseller. So please join us over at bestsellersguild.com and let us get to know you and find out how we can help you share your story with the world. And until next time, I hope that what we've shared today will really help you out so that you can live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.